Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am blessed. Astonishment has taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the house of the daughter of my people recovered? Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the sin of the daughter of my people. I'd like to read without a New Testament passage in the second chapter of Ephesians. And we're commencing to read at verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that will be for reading. I think that you possibly read, I thought that what we were reading, we find ourselves with the two statements that I want to set one against the other. We have those who have to confess, we are not saved. And then we read of those to whom Paul could write and say, by grace we are saved. So our meeting tonight has those in it who can truthfully say, praise God, I'm saved. And we have also in our meeting, and we're thankful to see them here, and those who would have to admit this, cross-examined in a very humble way, we are not saved. And my desire would be tonight that if you be amongst those who have to admit that I'm not saved, that before the meeting's over, you'll be able to say, by the grace of God, I am saved. I am saved. Now, I know that most would think that that would be an impossibility, and think that that's looking for something far beyond what could happen. But I love to tell the people, and I don't go back on it at all, and that is, if you'd have said to me at 8 o'clock the night I was saved, you'd be in it. On the way to heaven before you sleep tonight, I would not have believed. I'd have said, I hope it's true, but I have no hope forever if that happened. And yet in the goodness of God, it was all over and settled in a matter of hours. And that I was as safe in Christ that night, I way back 66 years ago since the Lord saved me. So you see, dear, so what we want you to get into your mind right away now, right at the start of the meeting, that this is something. That's within your reach. We're not holding it up away out in a long distant future that you never could see it. But we're presenting you with the gospel that you might take it in this very night. Now, first of all, I think you will see that we have two very solemn figures used here in chapter 8 of the book of Jeremiah. The first of these is a harvest that has passed. And then the second is this health that has not been recovered. Now those are two very simple figures. Everybody will understand them. You don't need any exposition from me. You know exactly what that is. I think if I could come to a meeting, and had the great power to heal every complaint, there's no building like this to heal the people. It's a great thing to have health and healing. Most of us appreciate it. And I do know that that's just a figure of what happens when a soul is saved. The sick soul, sick because of sin and because of its need, is healed. And of course, dear soul, you all know too well that there's nothing more happy in the mind of the average countryman anyhow than the harvest day. There has been a harvest, praise God for that. And here tonight in this very meeting, there are a number of us, and we've been gathered in, and they've been made safe and secure, and we appreciate the grace of God that has made it in, and that made it so. Now we will have to face the fact that when the prophet is writing, he has in his mind at least 3 periods of time since it's over. He's thinking of the harvest time. And then when he mentions the word summer, he's thinking of the summer fruit time. And then he's thinking of what follows that. And we would know in our language it would be the winter time. I think you can see that he has been through a few months. when it came to, as you know, the grain harvest, that was at Passover time. When it came to the rejoicing over the fruit harvest, that was at the Feast of Tabernacles, at the Feast of Angels. Then followed the winter time. The winter time. So in the mercy of God, a number of us, we have had our harvest yet. I know that you could look at these in a very big sense, and I'm not going to do that tonight. But we have known that we were allowed to be in that period when God is gathering in his harvest. We know that there was one, and you think of these words in the psalm, and he went forth with us, bearing precious seed. And we're told that he doubtless come again, rejoiceth, bringing his seed to us. And just before the Lord went to the cross, he has in his mind this very thought, because he could say, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. I would like to tell you, dear sinners, tonight, there was one who went to the cross, and he went there in sorrow and shame, and he bore on that tree all that was due to sin. Our times we look at it, and we wonder, is that all that suffering and all that pain, by none less than the Lord Almighty, is that going to be in vain? But we're thankful for the day that's coming, when that one who went alone to the cross, like a corn of wheat that went into the ground and died, and he'll return again, bringing his shoes with him. Oh, what a wonder that will be. Just for the Lord himself. Now listen to it, dear souls tonight. I hope you'll be amongst that throng. We're longing for your salvation. And we don't want to confound you this pleasure. But think of the great to your soul. If you're amongst those who will fill the heart of Christ with joy for all eternity. And he would look upon each one of us today and he'd say, there's the fruit of my going to the cross and dying for sinners. Blessed be his name tonight. We see that praising him continually for his saving grace. For sinners. Then again, dear soul, you'll notice that there's been a golden opportunity that the world has had. It's spoken of in 2 Corinthians as the day of salvation. It's not only a great mercy that we are alive tonight, but I hope you all of us, even saved people and all, that we're thankful that we're alive at the time we are. There's landed in the world in the most glorious day it has ever known. You say, what day is that? It's the day of salvation. The day when the harvest is being gathered in that will fill the heart of God with joy forever. The day of salvation. Blessed be God, it's the day of salvation. I know that sinners are going on as if they didn't need it. And we'll speak on that in a moment. And I know that many are careless about it. But I would love to get into our minds tonight. That we are not only on earth, but we're on earth with a wonderful privilege dangling before our very faces. The wonderful opportunity of being saved by the grace of God. Salvation's day has been our enjoyed portion. I won't doubt what you will all agree with, I hope you will. But God has dealt with the world in different ages and different ways. We're not going to introduce, but we do want us to get to know just how we are now. You young boy, young girl, as I was saved at school, and I want you to listen just to this, you were the age and all the age likely to put these things in. Yes, dear souls, let us remember tonight that we are in the world, and it's a golden opportunity when salvation's message is going forth, the glad tidings of the gospel, going to all of asunder. And without question, many are being saved by the grace of God. Listen to the connection. The number of souls that will be saved before the taken up. What have you think? When the Lord is from in this company, we're sharing in that blessing. For it's the day of it. It's the time of it. I know when I test the speech, we're usually emphasizing the now, but the now covers the day of salvation, the period when God is saving in a matchless way. Then again, you will notice that when these people are sick, they have memories of a harvest. Of a harvest that might not
a great comfort to us.
You know, it's an awful thought, dear sinner, and I want to tell it to you very tenderly tonight. So think that multitude in the city,
and you could be with them.
You know, I used to sit and listen to them. That was one of the groups that I had. The others were on the way to heaven, and I was a poor sinner, and I wasn't sure. I knew I needed it. Didn't see it anyhow, I knew. I never didn't see the burden the way I should, but at length it did dawn upon me by serious threat. Is it a solemn thing to say to your soul that there is danger and there's need? And it'd be a great thing if you were included from the harvest. I'm not sure. I don't know how to talk about it. I don't know how to talk about it. How have I been saved? What do you mean? Well, you know, you always haven't got for making it every time when that speaker steps into the bathroom for the first time. And let me go through it with you. I'm humbly. The cause of our fallen nature. We were born into this world because we're linked with heaven, he said. And we brought into this world with us a sinful nature. And not only that, but we have sinned from the beginning until now. And those sins are against the holy God of heaven. And if not pardoned on earth, they'll be punished in eternity. Now, I'll tell you that. You say, what's the punishment for sin? The punishment for sin, according to my Bible, and according to the very teaching of my blessed Lord, is nothing less than an eternity in heaven. Oh, dreadful thought. From hell to bottom. Never to come back anymore. That's why it's so important that we take it seriously. The danger that a sinner is in of perishing because of his sinful sin. And he can't go to heaven and he must go to hell. And he's very unsafe. I know, dear soul, that that woman in the meeting, who is thankful and glad he is saved, but he can remember the occasion in his life when it really dawned on him, got into his very being in a way he never had it before. I'm in danger of perishing. I'm going to be lost forever. I need to be saved, and I need it first. And I can't afford to delay. I would tell every sinner, Satan gets all offended because you're told you need to be saved. Don't get stiffened up and say that I'm not listening to that and all that kind of thing. You know, be sensible and wise here, so we all have to face it. And we have to humbly face it. And I dare not boast, but I think I lived as cheerful as most sinners before I was saved. I never went to bed without sending my meal and prayer and praying in the Lord's way. And I would have been afraid to do things that others did. I wouldn't even kick a ball. And I played sport at school because I thought it wouldn't be dangerous. I was afraid. I thought it would be. But then still said I needed to be saved. What would I want to get out of them? You're talking about ourselves, but we needed to be saved. We want everyone in this company tonight to get to know this. I have a soul to be saved. And I need it to get rested. And I need to find out how to be saved. I hope to tell you that before you think. Yes, dear Sylvia, there is a harvest of souls being saved. I hope you'll soon be among them, if you're not as yet saved. Then again, you notice that he changes the figure entirely. And he changes from the question of a harvest to a question of health. And he deals with the great subject of health. Here's the nation, of course, that you're all asking for finding the passage of little entirely different forgiveness and application. Here are people, and they're not these. They're not these. My dear soul, let me tenderly tell you tonight, there are wounds of sin that need healing. The spiritual health needed to be brought into your being that you never have. You know, it's something very solemn to think about healing. It's very solemn, isn't it? Because there's nothing that, maybe I would say, stunned me more yesterday than just to hear that memory, the thing that's happening. And too many speaking, there's no healing. Not often stunned. It's good to know, dear soul, that you have a plague, a remedy. What blessed be God, it's not Not yet fulfilled.
Not yet fulfilled.
Why?
There is a purpose.
You're not supposed to even think about things. You're thinking about disease. You immediately say, I wonder who ever did this. I wonder who's an expert at it. I wonder who could bring the remedy. I wonder how I could obtain it.
And you know, now without that fortune, people would give a fortune at it to get help.
And many a time spend a fortune almost
in trying to get help in every case. Of the food.
Now, dear soul, we want you to know tonight that here are the people, and the surprise was this, that there was a physician, and there was balm, and they should have been healed, but all provision had been made, but they could, not healed yet. Never had benefited by the remedy provided, and never had appreciated the physician that could cure their complaint.
My dear soul tonight, I know we have been thinking about this for years, the best physician now is here, the sympathizing Jesus,
and many of the hymn writers got the idea right into their minds that this idea of physical health is an illustration of the spiritual health.
The soul may have to be fully turned by.
I hope we're conscious of this, that we need healing.
You see. You see, the idea
is that a sinner's a broken. Something broken that needs mending.
It is something that totally helpless to be himself.
He needs something outside himself. But again,
you will never take advantage of the situation and it will go mad. You know, there's a happening ball at your house tonight and you're all sitting around and having a cup.
Now listen carefully. You took out a box of chocolate, you deposit money, couldn't you?
Well,
you'd never think of going to the medicine cabinet and saying, I've come through to you.
And you'd be all silent. But for me, you would. You'd be all silent. Well, how would you get
there? And I suppose if I was, maybe I'm going to be sharing with some of you, but if I was going through some of your house,
you'd let me have as many pillows lying by as you've never taken. I never would have. But if you like them, you'd be
there. Simply because you don't need them. You don't need them.
My dear soul, the greatest problem we have in the coming and the meeting of this house
is simply that there are souls present that really need the healing,
but they don't realize it. They have never become aware of the plague of their soul.
Why would you go on to this house? Let me get it as close to you as I can tonight, now, for you know I'm very limited in getting it over. But have you ever really thought your need of healing in light of eternity? Have you ever felt the sickness of your soul? Have you ever realized that I'm a poor, sick man that needs healing? And if I don't get healing, I'll have lost and I'll perish.
Now, the prophet, he's very much concerned about this.
There has been a harvest and they didn't get any benefits out of it. But then what a grief and more is this? He can say, is there no balm? Is there no physician? Is there no remedy? You see, that would be simply the problem that has to be faced. You see, the trouble with Israel was, in these very passages, they had a false peace and a false hope, and everything looked rosy and well, and they didn't want to be destroyed.
They tried to think that there was a minute.
Often when I speak on this, I tell about a dear man, I can't remember his name, came to the knee, and I, for some reason or other, I was sent to visit him. The first day that I called to see him in hospital London, before the new hospital was built up in the old hospital building, when I went to see him, he was in bed with him, on bed with him. So painful that I could scarcely get a word into his disease. After some time, I went back to see him. And he told me, oh, he's the man that you've got. Oh, I'm a different man now, isn't he? And I looked at him. You know, I'm not a doctor, as you know. But I had enough sense to know that that man doesn't look well. I'm not seeing it. Even I get home and get a bit of good fruit of bread and get a bit of good clean food that I get at home. And he says, I'll send the back to my usual again. And I went home and I remarked about it in the home and I said, I'm afraid he's not well at his usual.
And then about a week later, you see him looking in the newspaper.
What
is that?
What
is
What was wrong with that man that
the sickness was no serious than he realized?
And because he felt no pain,
he didn't think he was too well. My dear children, I've been out to some of you, and you're not there. And you should be feeling a pain in it. Maybe you don't say that.
You should be conscious of your weakness. You should be making feeling in your breath the need for the great physician.
Oh, the great physician. Let it be with me.
And for the balm
that he provides. Now, look at the illustration for the balm, as you know.
It comes from the tree, and it comes from the wounding of a tree.
And the balm of a tree, as a tree. Is it true for that, you know? Oh, we want to tell you, dear friend, there was one who died on Calvary's cross. We could have just run for you.
Died on Calvary's cross. And he has provided the balm that has healed millions of people. And thousands have fled. So there's one person saved. They all have been saved.
And none are gone.
Blessed be his name. He's not only a physician, but he has got the balm. He's a remedy.
And even has had. You know, most of the complaints you can find next to the phone now, next to the phone, whatever you like, and you can go to this one and that one, someone else can. You know, you'll never hear a thing out of the way in South Africa, or somebody in Australia, man, he's a remedy for that. You get in touch with him, and you trip across to Scotland and get a few pills over there or something like that. You say, man, it's this, I have a whole lot to collect from and all that. Come to this great mother, yeah, no, just there's only one physician.
There's only one physician can heal a sin-sick soul. And not one is the one who died at Calvary. And he's got the balm.
And you will agree that of all the remedies that were ever had, none cost so much as a remedy for death.
There's one up in heaven tonight, dear soul, let me tell you. And he's carrying memories in his soul that will never leave him for all eternity. For he never will forget the awful price that he paid when he went and sold all that he had and died on that cruel day
that sinners must be saved.
That's the great physician, and that's the only one can deliver from sin and can deliver you from the coming storm of judgment.
I hope, dear soul, you'll get to know your need again.
For you have to say, they that are who? You're not a physician, but they that are sick. I hope, dear soul, that you discover, even while you're sitting in this meeting tonight, well, you must know, if you know anything at all,
and I'm sure you do, for I don't give you credit for intelligence, you know there's something lacking in that. Now look at it right. You could not taste eternity happily, as you are just now.
You could not go into eternity in your present state with a joy.
If you ask them to sing around their bed, I know the story is something like that. Could you?
Would you be shivering on the brink of eternity?
Does that not show you need something?
Something that you haven't obtained. You need a balance. You need a physician.
You need him. That is it. But then now, we want to come to another thought.
You don't see what we mean. If perhaps you have found out you need Christ, and you found out your sinful state, and you found out that he died at Calvary that you might be saved.
Now I want to tell you something, I say it to you. I knew that for years before I saw. That's just some poor soul in the making. You don't want to make that little nice when we call you poor, because poor in the light of eternity. How am I going to get it?
How can I change over from not here to being here? How can I be seen from a poor sin-sick soul to a pure saint on the road to heaven? That's something great, isn't it? How can I change from one to the other?
Would it be one in the making and you don't want to go home from this meeting tonight? On faith? You feel that the Lord has spoken to you? You're agreeing in your mind and in your soul with what I've been saying. that your sins have stolen.
And you're realizing in that day, or you're never truly blessed as many, that you need help to get through.
If somebody wish to tell us how to get the benefit, how to apply the balm of the prayer, and to consider the place.
How can you that have really benefited by what Christ has done?
Now I want you to do that.
You notice that we read a bit in the New Testament. And there were five statements made in that verse
relative to being saved, and I want you to think of them before we go to meeting.
The first thing that's said about it is that it's going to be by grace.
That is, you could line us up to a safe now.
Line us up to the end of the meeting. You could put your finger across the whole bond.
It's not one of those men, not one of those women.
They all got it on the principle of grace.
How could they have it? It doesn't pay for it.
You didn't deserve it. By grace!
Are you safe?
Then comes what I would call the most important of these things. Maybe a colleague, maybe be able to
defend it and prove it simply, but I think the most important of them.
By grace, are you safe? Through grace!
Now we get to our point of view.
Will you remember as long as you're alive, dear soul, that throughout the New Testament, and even in parts of the Old Testament, the great stress is this, that the benefits of the work of Christ
come to those who put their trust in Him.
Not maybe reading that whosoever believeth in Him, but
maybe whosoever comes to Him or
come unto me, whatever words you like to use, for every one of them without exception, indicate this, that the only way of benefiting from what Christ has done is simple faith in Him.
I could have been just in another humble life. It's very hard, dear, to put money on a position you didn't perform.
And you get the prescription, you just go down the street and tell it in the evidence, well, the mother's telling them, you're very terminated. You just happen to be that, you know, right? I'm taking hold of it.
And comes to Christ, dear sir.
If you have no confidence in the one who died at Calvary, you'll never be enough. I used to wonder, and I was buried all of these things. I don't want you to think that we were super or anything like that. I often wondered, how can I get the benefit of what Christ has done for sinners? I've heard it for years, you see. And I knew it intimately. I was quite clear on it. How can I make a man? Oh, it's when the believing soul rejoicing goes. The shall you be given. A day you're supposed to appear below. Yes, life eternal comes the moment I put my trust in Christ. Hey, listen to it. People who get saved don't deserve it.
They won't permit that.
People who get saved put their trust in Christ. The rest on Him.
The one who died at Calvary.
And they can say, I dare not trust the sweetest name for holy living. On Jesus' name. By grace, you're safe to hear. And that, not of your soul. This is somebody, unless you were talking about it, you know, I would never make a Christian. I don't think I would. I'll make up, maybe that I wouldn't. It's not in me. Oh, you said it's not in your soul. Don't try to look something up.
And don't try to make yourself a sort of ready for something, and try to have an experience of something that will make you more acceptable to God.
No, no, dear friend. It's by grace that you're saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. No effort of you.
You'll be hungry. That's not of yourself.
Not of what?
It's not of what?
See, your soul. These are mentioned salvation to people. And the first thing you see is crazy as this, that you may have found it in your head. And the next thing that maybe say is, well, I think if I try it even harder, I might get saved. And then they would, they oh, what's going on?
And they'd say that, and look here, so we have to admit it. Now listen, this is very solemn.
They've got it all over the world now. They're a mystery million.
And they're trying to win salvation by the law. And by their work.
What do you mean, Peter? They think their good works will not heaven?
Indeed, I remember taking to several people over the years, and you know, I used to call it people before, and do some of it at night. But I used to call it people. And one of the things that is a common expression is you.
Oh, yes,
you do need to work at that. But you know, you could do either. You could do either. And the thing to think that salvation comes through the blessed of Christ before we get out of these two. I wonder if people ever realize how shameful it is to prepare that we ask alongside the Lord.
How shameful it is for a mortal to think of anything he would do.
And it's indeed something in salvation. No, he says it's not of work. It's not of yourself. It's not of work.
Well, then, to somebody, if I can't work for it,
and if I don't deserve it, and if it's nothing in my personality that would win it, how am I going to get it?
Well, it's a great gift.
It's just a simple gift, and it's a gift of God. And you're so right. I know you think you're simple, perhaps, but I can still live back my drive with an empty hand, with no merit, with no fitness of my own. I could take and accept the gift. Oh, the gift of salvation. Blessed be his name. He gives it free. He gives it free. Now, don't you get into your head and you have to squeeze it out of God? See, what's that? Don't you think that was into your head that you ever thought that you'd drag it out of him? That he's reluctant to pass it. And if he'd only said me, he would do it, but he won't do it. And blame God for your condition. Don't be silly to your soul. It's for eternity. And he hands it out as a free gift. Not a work, not a merit, but a free gift. And I suppose we'll hardly ever see token popularly fit that a popularly thing. Nothing in my hand I bear. Simply through thy cross I bear. Let it come to thee for death. Help us look to thee for death. By life through the fountain flow. Let me see all I have. From this day to this moment, and you knew. And then, I'm leaving you, I'm leaving the bar, I'm leaving the chair, I left you from that, from this day to this moment, and you knew. You said, I'm all right, you're trying to hide my distance, and I'll put them at my own free hand. Well, if Mr. Campbell was a little unusually firm, I wouldn't say that I'd use a bit of language and stuff, because, you know, if I was getting sick, he said, I'm just going to believe on Christ and trust him, even if he was a hell of a people, for the sake of the man he was. Even if he's going to happen. He's going to happen. Wouldn't look great to us, so wouldn't like to party with you tonight. I hope your will won't be an eternal fire, the horror of this fast and the crumbling engine. And you're not there. And I hope the number will shed over you, like what Jeremiah was shedding in the next chapter from which he ran in chapter 9. So he said, oh, that my head would have thanked me for you. You know what he did with that? And you didn't hear that. You know why he's nothing but weak to mighty and to weak to open it? Because you're slaying. Hey, listen to me. Tonight you may need healing.
There's hope for those who need healing.
But there's no hope for those who have fled. And in the course of my little while in earth, I followed the remains of man. In the heavens. It wasn't that the music of the grave that was saved in life. It wasn't that the image that was saved in man. But I tell you what it is. They are dead without it. And they're really finished. The harvest is past. The summer is end. I hope you have told you not to live like that. I hope the day that you come to the time when you may have to leave this world, that I'll be able to sing around your grave, yes, and sing with joy in us. There's a soul that faith in Christ ahead of death. May your Lord have you. It's solemn to be. It's solemn to be exposed to judgment and even salvation. But isn't it grace this way? Isn't it grace this freedom? And isn't it grace that the Bible tells us how to manage it?
Mm-hmm. If you listen to it again, I quote it mostly sentimental people because I go over it again.
By grace are you saved through faith. Got not of yourself, but it's the gift of God. Not of what?
Yes, then, man, should be. May the Lord help you to reach your empty hand out to me. Trust the gift and thank the one who suffered for me. They never do.
Our Father, we bow humbly before thee. We who are saved, we never tire in praising thee for the grace that we suffer. And we never tire in praising thee for the one who suffered so much to bring us here. And we're thankful for the dealings of thine hand upon us, and that which led us to faith in thy Son. We take into our hearts tonight that you and those who are here, and you see like saying before the old that they're the patient saying, that the Lord is here. Oh, that thou would bless them this salvation, that none of them will perish in this sin. We do commend them all to thee. We commend thy word to thee. We commend ourselves to thee. Oh, make us more thankful as the days go by, that we're saved by thy grace. And God grant that others may share the blessing that is ours. We ask that in the Lord's name. Amen.
I sing a little from that simple hymn number, I think it's number 35. Hymn number 35. I was thinking particularly of verse 4, but we will sing verses 1 and 4 of 35. You notice that we're closing a little early because it's a long day and we didn't want to keep you too late. There is life through a loop after crucified one, that's verse 1. And we're going to sing verse 4 also. We are healed by his stripes, which thou art to the world. Verses 1 and 4 of 35 from the Psalms of